What is life as an artist? Well, for me, it's a lot of things. In today's episode 117 here on the Rockstar Mentor Podcast, I am going to talk about the questions I get asked often about how do I do it all? How do I run this podcast, run my art business, mentor other people, teach sip and paint events, and so much more. I'm going to share with you some of my highs, some of my lows, and get downright personal on so many things that I have learned along the way. So hang on tight and let's do this.
Welcome to the Rockstar Mentor Podcast, the podcast to inspire you and bring you the kickstart you need to crush it in the art industry. We'll bring you creative insights, inspiring interviews, and valuable resources. Art marketing, along with decades of experience, to provide you the strategic approach to unleash your creative talents and rock your inner entrepreneur. Now, your creatively energetic host, Sonia Paz.
Hey there, friends and listeners. It's Sonia here with the Rockstar Mentor Podcast. And I just want to say, first of all, thank you all so much for the past 2.5 years of listening to the podcast and sending me your questions, your compliments, your comments, and kudos along with your gratitude for all of the information that I've provided to you over the last 116 other episodes here. And I get asked all the time about my journey as an artist and what I do and how do I have the energy to do everything and what just prompts me to keep going and expanding my, not only my business, but the services that I provide to not only other business owners, but for kids classes and the sip and paint events. And yes, I will admit, I have a full plate. Now, as I mentioned, a lot of people who've known me a long time constantly say the same thing. They say, Sonia, you are just like the Energizer Bunny. You go and you go and you go and you never stop. Well, that has been that has been me for my entire life. That was one of the things that the teachers used to tell my mother and father about me, that I was constantly on the go. I was always spinning out of control, always had endless amounts of energy, and I guess sometime that they thought that that would subside somewhat and that I would slow down and I would just sort of mellow with age. But on the contrary, it seems like the older I get, the more excited I get about projects that I'm involved with, things that I want to do that would go by saying my art business and my podcast, the art classes that I do, and just everything. There is so much stuff that I do. Groups that I am involved in, people that I'm helping, organizations that I do work for, and just the list goes on. But I wanted to take the time today to sort of not only reflect on things that I've done, but just to sort of give you a day in the life, or maybe a month of the life of my life as an artist and sort of the highs and lows that I've encountered. I always like to be really optimistic about things. I like to be positive in the way that I present myself. I like to be just uplifting and really have a great energy when I do my events or when I talk to groups or I interact with other people or networking groups or kids that I'm teaching or sip and paint events that I'm doing. But I definitely wear my emotions out there for the whole world to see. So when I am stressed, it's pretty evident. Those of you who know me know that when I get really stressed out, I get very vocal about how stressed out I am. And I don't know if that's a quality or if it's something that I should be proud of, but that's just the way it is. And I think most people are like that when they get stressed. Now, I don't throw things or cuss anybody out, but I do tend to get frazzled. And when I get frazzled, I move really quickly. So I am bustling around, I'm hustling, trying to just get myself just sort of to work off all that energy, whether it's nervous energy or busy type of energy. That's just, I get up and I start moving around. And I am not one to sit still. If I sit in a chair more than 20 minutes at a time, that's a long time. And so, you know, I just want to just share a lot of the things that drive me as an artist and as an entrepreneur, as well as a business person. And I've been in business a long, long time. Now, a lot of you might know that when I started painting, I was working in high tech. I was working for Adobe Systems. And before that, I worked for Microsoft for a short while. I worked at Claris Corporation before that. And before that, I worked at Apple. And before that, I worked at Mitsubishi. So I come from a long line of corporate jobs that I will say first and foremost that I feel very, very honored and privileged to have had the opportunity to work at all of those places, whether those places might have been great or not so great. But the fact is that I learned so much. I learned so much about interacting with people when I worked for Mitsubishi Motors, because I was the only female that was selling automobiles at the time. And it was an adventure. And this was in the 80s. So I went from being very, I couldn't even really look at anyone in the face and talk to them directly, to becoming a really good salesperson, learning from some of the most ruthless people in the industry. But I learned a lot. I learned how to diffuse certain comments. I learned how to be assertive and listen and to just pay attention to what people are talking about and what their needs are, and how to ask a question, how to qualify customers, and just learn so much about interacting with human beings. And it was an amazing job. I probably would still be doing that today, but at the time, my son was very young, and I didn't want to be away from him on every single weekend or holiday or every evening. So I decided that I wanted to work an 8-to-5 job Monday through Friday, and that's how I got involved working for Apple Computer. And this was in the late 80s, and it was an amazing job. I loved it. I loved working with creative, technical people, and the camaraderie back then was just, it was so great, and I learned so much about being in high tech, and those were really great times. And then, of course, as life goes on, you move and you change and things happen and other types of opportunities become available. So I decided to pursue some of those things, which landed me eventually at, I think I left Revlon out of that equation. I ended up in New Jersey for 3 years, and I ended up working for Revlon for about a year and a half when I was living temporarily out in the East Coast. And that was an amazing time as well. I worked, because of my computer skills, I ended up working in the main factory where they manufactured all of the bulk product and all of the fragrance, all of the different lines at Revlon, and I managed the personnel office in the evening time. And it was fascinating, especially for me who came from the Silicon Valley. I had the opportunity to see how mascara was made, how the bulk manufacturing was produced. There were about 7 different lines at Revlon at the time in the main factory there in Edison, New Jersey. And for me, it was really fascinating to see how lipstick was made and how it gets that really glossy finish. And doesn't matter what department you were in, you knew exactly where you were. So you know when you were in fragrance, you knew when you were in the lotion department, you knew when you were in the shampoo department, you knew when you were in pressed powders. So it was an amazing opportunity. And I worked there until we moved back from the East Coast back to California, where I ended up at Apple again, and then from there to Claris, and then Microsoft, and then to Adobe. But when I was at Adobe, I decided that I wanted to just really be creative again. I wanted to delve into getting my hands messy with painting. And as my family was growing, I would take time for myself in the evening and get back into being creative and painting and just releasing from the day of stress and bustling and picking up kids and all that stuff, to relaxing after they would go to bed and start painting again. And of course, being an artistic individual, I have picked up the brush on and off since forever. But I would say while I was working in corporate, it was just a nice diversion to focus on doing something a little different than the day-to-day grind of working in corporate. And I will say that I loved my group at Adobe. Absolutely loved them. And I'm going to give a shout out to Mike, Helena, Jeff, Anita, Jan Mike, Jason, and of course, all of the other folks that worked at Adobe that I engaged with on a daily basis. But as much as I love the group, I really felt that I wanted to just relax when I got home and paint and just sort of lose myself. Now, as I started creating and painting more and more, I had taken some of my favorites and put them in my office at my job, and they started getting a lot of recognition. And neighbors would come over, friends would come over and see some of the new artwork on the wall and really love it and gravitate toward it and ask me a lot of questions about it. And it made me feel really, really great. I felt, wow, for the first time, I've created something that was really me. It was really me from the heart. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you will know that is what I tell each and every one of you is create from your heart, create from something meaningful, create from a point in your life that is important, reflect a lot of yourself in the work that you are doing. So with that said, there was a lot of really amazing comments and compliments and people wanting to buy my work. So I started getting involved with the Open Studio, Silicon Valley Open Studios, that was organized by this group, nonprofit group, svos.org. And so I started promoting myself in the comfort of my own home. And as I started doing that and got more and more people coming by and things like that, it just snowballed and it opened up so many doors for me. Now, when I started doing this, the internet was not, and I repeat, is not like it is today. We are talking about the late 90s, the early 2000s. So having a website was a big deal. And then I started to sell on eBay and really got a lot of traction there. And I just wanted to mention that little tidbit of information just to let you know that I started out just like a lot of you are starting out today. I worked in corporate. I had a side hustle, side gig, whatever you want to call it. And this is how I was going to start setting the foundation of my art business. Of course, I did not know it at the time because I thought I would be working in corporate forever. And that's not a bad thing. It's all good. So when I ended up leaving Adobe, I started doing art and wine festivals, a lot of the street shows, the open studios, did more of those. I had the opportunity to showcase my artwork in coffee houses and restaurants, had solo gigs at different galleries, had group exhibitions with fine and amazing artists in my travels that I've done, ended up in Art Expo International, New York City. It just, the list went on, and it was a wild ride. It's an amazing wild ride. Decided that in 2004, I was going to open up my own first studio, something that was taking the business out of the house, and found a great artistic, really amazing place in Santa Clara, California, which was my first gallery. It was on Lafayette Street, and it was called the Loft Building. It was very artistic. It was very kind of an open space where I had my own suite, but it had that open feel, the high beams and the industrial look to it. And it was my second home. We had so many events there, so many openings, so many festivities. I would let other people use the gallery space for their networking events, their chamber mixers, their parties, just so many different things. And it really got my name out there and really got me a lot of visibility. From there, I ended up at Santana Row, which is a really elite shopping mall in San Jose, California. Then from there, I ended up in downtown Campbell, where I was there for about, maybe 6 or 7 years. And that, of course, was a wild ride in itself. I had my own solo gallery, and it was well received. it was amazing. I had, around the time that I had opened up the gallery, I was commissioned by the city to make new banners for their street banners. So I donated the artwork for those banners to the city. And there were about 8 or 9 other artists in downtown Campbell at the time that I arrived there. So it was very artistic. It was really a great community because I was able to connect with other artists and we all had something so different to offer. Nobody was alike. We all put our heads together and started an art walk that started in 2007. And I actually was the one to keep that going because I was sort of the last art gallery standing. By the time 2012 rolled around, I was the only art gallery in downtown Campbell. But that was okay because the truth of the matter, I was tired. I was completely, completely exhausted. It was such a journey and an amazing wild ride, but I was not able to create like I had hoped. I thought I would be there. I have staff that could work on interfacing and interacting with the customers, and I would be in the back creating these giant masterpieces. And in short, that kind of did happen, but I was constantly interrupted, and I'm not complaining, but it's just a reality. I was interrupted all the time. Friends and people would come by, they'd want to visit. Some people would have a reservation at the restaurant down the street and they want to come hang out and thought, oh, I'll just go hang out with Sonia, not thinking that this is my job. So it was hard for me. And sometimes, and I will confess, and this is part of the high and low portion of this podcast today, is sometimes I was there, but I was not there. So I would have to tell my staff, I am here, but I have to work on this commission, or I have to work on these new paintings for this upcoming show I was having. So I couldn't, as much as I would love to have visited with everyone, it just wasn't possible. And the gallery was a beautiful gallery. And I will put a link and maybe a couple photos on the show notes of this podcast so you can see. But we had 2,300 square feet of gallery space. And we had this really interesting, big, giant metal wall that was curved. It looked almost like the side of a giant soup can. But we outfitted that because I wanted a really workable space in the gallery where I can be back in the back working and allow myself the right amount of space to do that. We had a workbench built into the space. We had work tables in the back for framing. It was pretty remarkable. But so I was there, but I was not there so much of the time. And as I'm telling you all this, I'm finding myself almost running out of breath because I feel like I'm reliving the hectic, crazy journey that from 2012. And here we are, December of 2018. So that was 6 years ago that I didn't close the business, but I moved the business from Campbell back over to San Jose. Now, I started out doing art out of my home. I then moved to a smaller studio and then a little gallery. We expanded from there, had a showroom or two from Santana Row to Campbell. It was a long time of just being in the fast lane. If you can picture yourself in a car in the fast lane every day, 24 hours a day, driving, 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 going through all the stoplights and just keep going, that is exactly how I felt. I know, don't mean to be gruesome about it, but unless you've been in my shoes or shoes similar to this, you really won't understand. And one of the things that there was a couple reasons I decided to close, not only for not getting a lot of work done, but my overhead in a downtown area was crazy. It was very costly, but that was my choice and I had obligations and I decided to stick it out and I did. So I went back to studio by appointment when I moved the business to studio in San Jose, and believe it or not, because I was not a place where people can just come by, if people wanted artwork, they had to make an appointment, and that resulted in sales. So it was, in turn, a good thing. Did I get to take more time off? Not really, because I was just as busy, but that was the kind of busy that I liked because I could lock the door and not have to really focus on walk-in traffic or anything like that. But it's all good. And, you know, life is crazy and life is full of adventures. And I love an adventure. But over the last 3 years, I ended up moving out of the area. I don't live in the San Jose area anymore. We live in a more rural community, and I love it. I'm out in the Central Valley in California. There's a lot more space out here. We have a lot more opportunity to just spread out. And for me, it's breathing. And I've made so many great business contacts out here. So my repertoire of networking and communicating with others has grown. I was never really looking to narrow that down, but I was pleasantly surprised to find so many people out here in the Central Valley that have become amazing friends. And our neighborhood is awesome. We get several of us get together once a month. We have dinner and we go to a different place, and it's just awesome. I don't think I've lived in a neighborhood like this since I was a little kid, where everybody knew everybody else and you can connect and on a whim just have, you know, friends over and gatherings. I really love that. I do. And I do have to travel a lot for my business. And so it's nice when I'm home. I can certainly just chillax. Aside from all the teachings and mentoring and product development and classes and all that good stuff, I, being now that I'm a Central Valley kind of gal, I'd learned how to do canning. And I've been doing lots of canning and learning about how to prepare food and food storage and that kind of stuff. And about 2 years ago, I came up with a recipe that a sweet pickle candied jalapeno. It's also known as cowboy candy, but I have perfected the recipe to how I like it. So now we are in a little mini production with my sweet pickle jalapeno candied peppers. This is also referred to as Sonia's Sweet and Spicy. They come in 8-ounce jars, and they are also on my soniapaz.com website. And if you like the perfect blend of sweet and spicy, then you will love these. So definitely check that out. One of the other things I like to do when I need to relax or I want to just kind of zone out and just do something different than to play on the iPad or surf the internet or watch, you know, just TV, is a few of my very amazingly talented friends, namely Annette and Michelle, have been amazing. In fact, Annette Kelly was on my podcast last year. She was on episode 75 back in October of 2017. So she and Michelle have taken me under their wing and are showing me the amazing work that you can do with fabrics and textiles, namely quilting. So I upgraded my sewing machine this last year and have really enjoyed doing all different kinds of quilting. And we're not talking the quilting that maybe your grandma did, you know, 60, 70 years ago. We're talking about quilting, improv quilting, modern quilting. The different fabrics and the leaders in the quilting industry have been completely amazing. And of course, if you remember, just this past June, I had Rob Appel with Man Sewing on episode 101, and that was a really amazing treat. So we do have some cool guests here on the Rockstar Mentor podcast, and my love for this new textile and piecing together fabrics and thinking outside the box, it's been a learning curve for me, but I absolutely love it. And it's really nice to get together with people who have the same type of interests. And of course, I love getting together with anybody that's creative, anybody who's an artist, anyone who can share and want to just expand their repertoire of learning and teaching, or just, you know, hanging out, talking shop. I love it. I feel very blessed to have so many artist friends who have just inspired me on a daily basis. So I feel that I feel that I've really mastered the visual arts. I have the podcast, so I am certainly tapping into your audio senses. And now with my pickled sweet jalapeno peppers, I am moving in on your other senses like taste and smell. So like I mentioned, if you're interested in seeing more about my sweet pickled jalapeno peppers, also known as cowboy candy, check me out on soniapaz.com. I do know that here in my podcast, I talk to you always about getting prepared, being aware of who you are as an artist, how to listen to your intuition, how to really be focused on what you're doing, how to separate your life from your work and your work from your life and your side gig from your regular job and all that good stuff. It's been a crazy ride this last few weeks with my art business and me. I tend to go and go and go. I set really unrealistic deadlines for myself. And I think that's just who I am. When the ceiling is coming down and the floor is coming up and you're sort of caught between that, that's when I get most of my best work done. That's when my commissions are really passionate and I can get more work done. I don't just paint. I don't just create. I teach others how to market their businesses. I teach people who want to get out and be social how to paint in a sip and paint environment with my company called Vino Paint. I have art classes for kids, and I opened up almost 2 years ago, I opened up Central Valley Art Academy. So I do teach others how to create. I teach children how to create, and it's been really, really, really rewarding. And I just found that I just love this work. All of this work really keeps me satisfied as an artist and as a person who's giving to the community. I do a lot of fundraisers for organizations to help raise funds. I work with different kinds of groups and networking with all different kinds of people to just make a difference in the lives of others and bring attention to a lot of really great causes. And with the fact that I never really sit still, I'm the prime target for a lot of folks to reach out to me because I am always out there online. I am constantly creating. I'm constantly just buzzing about trying to just connect the dots and connect people together. And to me, that's what I do. That's just, I love doing it. It's something that is really, really fulfilling. So on a little bit of a personal note, I wanted just to share a little bit that a little over a year ago, I got in a bit of an accident and I ended up getting hit in the head and ended up with a slight little concussion that resulted in me just wanting to pack it in. Just, I didn't want to do this anymore. I thought, I don't want a studio. I don't want to do anything. And I just needed some downtime. So we decided that I still was going to do my art business, but I was going to not keep my studio space here in the Central Valley. I decided to just keep the warehouse space, which has a very small studio area in it, and I'm able to create and fulfill orders and do online orders and do all that good stuff, and built a home office out of my spare room, which was basically full of the stuff left over from our move from about 3 years ago. So I decided to get rid of everything. I sold absolutely every single thing that I had from the gallery that I managed to squeeze into about 1,000 square feet of my new studio space here in Patterson, California. And when I say everything, I am talking about, okay, are you ready? I sold the conference room table, my desk, the credenza, displays, glass displays, the couch, more shelving. Ugh, I'm going to tell you right now that if you're an artist and you buy shelving for stuff, that means that you are going to be using those shelves to put more stuff on. So before you go buy another shelf, go and look and see what you have before you need it. If you're not using it, donate it to a school or to an art or any type of organization, because shelving for me is just another furniture piece that you can put more stuff on, more stuff that you probably don't need. So just that little side note. But what else did we sell? Cabinets. I sold raised tables. sold a whole bunch of printers because if everyone knows me, knows that I am a Epson printer hog hoarder. So I got rid of those, sold those. I sold art supplies. I sold canvases. I just sold a large abundance of things that I just didn't need anymore. The last thing to go, ironically, was my desk because I was piling my desk full of things so I can get rid of everything else. So everything came off of shelves that ended up on top of my desk. But that was what I decided to do. And I knew that I would never stop being an artist. I knew that I would never stop doing art. It's really a releasing feel to have all of that stuff just gone. And it was exciting when I got the stuff, let's say the table, the conference room table that we used for, I don't know how many meetings, how many amazing workshops and classes and things like that that went on at that table. But it was time for it to go and have a history with somebody else. And that was okay. But so I've had my home office now for just about a year. My son, Ryan, he came over and helped me outfit the whole thing. I had gone to IKEA to spend a whole day there designing my new space and thought of this so meticulously detailed on how I wanted everything to look, how I had wanted storage for every single particular item for all my jewelry stuff, because I didn't want that in the warehouse. I don't want to do jewelry in a warehouse. I didn't want to do a lot of the fine detailed art journaling in a warehouse. Well, I mean, the warehouse is a warehouse. It's for warehousing stuff and inventory. So the new office is great. I love it. I have two windows, one that, they actually both sort of look out to the backyard of the hills from where we live. I feel that this was exactly what I needed to do. I really have not dealt well with I really had a tough time with this injury from last year. I've gone to physical therapy, chiropractors, spine specialists. When I got hit in the head, I got my neck and shoulder got completely tweaked. And it's just been a long 12 months or a little over 12 months of doctor's appointments and just, you know, the pains of it's been a pain in the neck. So there's nothing short of saying that it's been a pain in the neck and I am working through all of this to feel better. So the pressure of not having that additional office leasing space, especially for a space, it was a great space, but I wasn't using all of it and it just was not beneficial for me and I just didn't want to do that. So I really feel very blessed to have my office the way it is now and to be able to, you know, still do all of my projects. But, you know, here we are in the midst of the season. We are in the holiday season and I've found myself over the last 3 or 4 weeks in the warehouse a lot trying to get things organized, but to fill online orders. Because every year in my art business at SoniaPaths.com, I do we've done this now since 2006. So 2006 was my first ornament and we're going on 12 years now, 12 or 14 years. I don't know. Sometimes I get a little foggy in my memories because of my accident, but we've been doing the ornament for well over 10 years. Let's just put it that way. And the first few were interesting. We did a little wooden ornament, some of the first ones, and then I started doing metal, and then we went to a plastic composite, and now we're back to aluminum. But these are my limited edition ornaments that I do every year. Each one is signed and numbered by me. We manufacture those out of my Central Valley little studio/warehouse location. And this year is the first year that I have created the ornament not from a painting. Every year I usually paint a painting, we photograph it, we digitize everything, and then we manufacture the ornaments from all that, and then I sign them and number them, we package them, they come with a certificate of authenticity into a gift box, and those get shipped out. And I feel very, very blessed to have customers who have been ordering these since day one. You know who you are. There are so many names to mention. And if I mention a few and I don't mention others, that won't be fair, especially if you're all listening in on the podcast. But there are dozens and dozens of people who order every single year, and you are all amazing, and you are all so very well loved in my heart, and I cannot tell you enough how that makes me feel. And I know that a lot of you still order throughout the year, but the holidays is when a lot of folks surface. Plus, the holidays is when I really start hustling to sell a lot of the stuff online, because I am so busy throughout the rest of the year with doing commission works and things like that. There's not a lot of time to focus on my retail end of things. And that's okay. I'm fine with that. I lived the journey. I rode the hustle. I want to say the bucking bronco of crazy retail. And I've done all that. I don't feel I have to really just kill myself trying to make the difference 12 months out of the year. If I do this 3 months out of the year and I bug you all with a newsletter from October through December, that's fine. I don't want to burn anyone out. And I certainly don't want too many people unsubscribing, and I don't want to be a pest. But I am good with it, because I know that you know that if you all need something, I am here for you, because you have been here for me. So this podcast today was just a little bit of a reflection of who I am, what I have done to start. So many folks have asked me to share more of my personal journey on this podcast, and I know that we're going into overtime on my talk today, but it's something that I didn't think anyone was interested in. And when I had mentioned that at one of my recent networking meetings, when someone said, why don't you put yourself out there and really share? Tell people, tell your podcast listeners that you had this accident. Tell podcast listeners sort of that you've had highs and lows, because not everything is always comes out roses. I mean, as an artist and creating a significant product line, we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time coming up with products that we thought were amazing that ended up being duds. And then the ones that we thought, meh, maybe not so great, turned out to be phenomenal products. So, you know, I don't mind sharing. I love sharing. This is why I have the podcast. I'm hoping that everyone listening in today will learn and understand that I bleed red just like everyone else. I have highs, I have lows. The last couple of days, I've been on major burnout, because getting all the ornaments and some of the technical difficulties with our printer, which just needed a cleaning, but we had some difficulties with our reproduction sublimation printer that we use to reproduce a lot of the items that we're working on, had some streaking issues, and I couldn't get it to be correct. So my trusty computer printer guy came to the rescue and helped me out. So that was amazing. With everything going on, I had suffered a little burnout, and I just needed to just decompress, go to bed early. That's weird. Going to bed at 10. That's really weird. And I know, for those of you who know me really well that are listening, you're probably falling off your seat laughing, because you know that I don't go to bed early. I am not a go to bed at 10, wake up at 6 or 7 kind of person. I usually go to bed at 1 or 1:30 or 2, wake up again at 4:30 because I can't sleep. Then I might wake up at 7:30, do some email till 9:30, crawl back into bed until 11, and then, you know, not the greatest sleeping habits. And as I get older, I realize that sleep is something. It's free, it's needed, so might as well take advantage of it. So that is pretty much a wrap today, everyone. Do visit my website if you get a chance, soniapaths.com. I will put some photos of my gallery. I will actually link, if you're on Facebook, I'm going to link to the album on my Sonia Paths Art and Design Facebook page of the building out of my studio and gallery in downtown Campbell in 2008. So you can see how amazing it was. We had a fantastic opening night that came. That's going to be, let me see here, that's going to be coming up on 10 years. Next week on December 5th is going to be 10 years since our grand opening at my downtown gallery in Campbell. And I can tell you right now, it was absolutely amazing that people came out. We had a packed house. The mayor of Campbell was there. All the city council was there. Friends and family and people came in from out of town. It was truly remarkable. And a giant, giant, giant kudos to my staff at the time for that was Tammy and Andrew, Tao, and of course, my better half, significant other, and partner in crime, Mark. We were all there. And my little dog, Sammy, of course, was there. It was really great. And I really feel so blessed and have so much gratitude for all of the folks who just were there to support. Wow, this episode was way longer than I intended, but I think you get the point. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will be back next week with a very short episode to touch base on some things that you're working on and would love to hear some of your journeys so I can share them on the podcast. I hope you all have a great weekend. Stay safe out there, and we will talk to you later. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Rockstar Mentor Podcast today. I am Sonia Paz, your host and creator of this podcast, and the purpose of this show is to bring you my experience and expertise on how to run your own creative artistic business. I have been creating art a long time, and through all this time, I have developed my own retail line of products that I have sold through my retail gallery, my website, and through specialty retailers and galleries throughout the U.S. I developed this podcast to help you, the creative entrepreneur and small business person that you are, so you can be confident and successful with your business. There are dozens of helpful episodes with amazing free advice, interviews with savvy business professionals, so you can learn and experience from their voices of wisdom as well. Be sure to look for me on Facebook.com/RockstarMentor, Twitter.com/CrushItMentor, and Instagram.com/RockstarMentor. You can also reach out directly to me at mentor@RockstarMentor.com. And if you're looking to learn how to expand your business, please visit RockstarMentor.com. I have a ton of great resources, and all of the show notes for every episode is in the blog section of the website. If you love the podcast but feel that you need some more one-on-one coaching, connect with me. You can reach me directly at mentor@rockstarmentor.com. I answer each and every email, and I want to make sure that I can get you on the right track. If you'd like to support the show, you can do that in a couple of ways. You can visit patreon.com/rockstarmentor and donate as little as $1 a month. It just helps with some of the logistics on getting this podcast out to you for free. And if you really like the show and want to give us some serious podcast love, you can make a one-time donation by visiting paypal.me/SoniaPaz. Be sure to subscribe and tune in each week to the Rockstar Mentor Podcast by visiting our website. You can listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, or however you listen to your podcast. You can even listen to our podcast direct from our website. If you like the podcast and get value from it, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. This also helps us gain more traction and lets other creative folks and entrepreneurs like yourself discover the Rockstar Mentor. Plus, it's always super cool to give great reviews. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and we look forward to talking to you later.